So the reading is from Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. And if you have one of these Bibles, it's on page 1193. Okay, you look ready. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be back here. It's always nice to go around and visit other churches and see what God's doing in different churches around Hobart and Kingston, but I always end up really missing some of these, so it's always a pleasure to get back and be with you all again. And yeah, I wouldn't mind too, just sort of adding a little commendation. That would be the wrong thing for that TWBC session. We actually, as pastors, were lucky enough to have a small session with Dr. Wirikoon last year, and she was just fantastic. And so, in terms of thinking through sexuality, sexual ethics, and obviously all those things are such a big deal in our world at the moment and culture. She really is just fantastic. So we're very lucky to have her down this year. So please chat to Kath and make the most of that. Well, let me pray as we start this new series on coming to church. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for church. Thank you for the great miracle that it is. We often sort of take it for granted and forget just how miraculous it is. Not just that we're here on a Sunday morning when the rest of the culture sort of is in bed, but when we actually think about what it took to bring this little gathering about, that it took the death of your son to transform people who by nature were objects of wrath, people that didn't want to know you, to transform them into your family that they might be gathered together as a community like this and we can be here. Brothers and sisters, despite the fact that we've got very different backgrounds, we're of different ages, different personalities, and yet united in Jesus, that is just truly a miracle. And as we reflect on the nature of church and the importance of being at church over these next few weeks, we ask for your help. Father, we live in a very consumerist world where often we just kind of take what seems to be the better offer on the spur of the moment, and church is just one option among many to us. And yet we know it's far too precious for that to be the case. So we ask, would your Holy Spirit please work in us as we study these passages and think through these ideas? Give us a new passion and excitement about being part of church, and help us to make 2016 a year where we commit to showing up to church regularly. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's interesting to note that over the last, I'd say roughly 20 to 30 years perhaps, there's been a very slow but nonetheless steady shift in the way that people think about attending church. And this shift has resulted in what is a steady decline in regular weekly church attendance. Once upon a time, attending your church regularly, it was pretty much set in concrete. You just did it. Come rain, hail, shine, you'd make sure you were there. It was expected. It was sort of the Christian thing to do. Indeed, for some of you that have grown up in Reformed churches or been a part of this denomination for a long time, you'll remember that actually it used to be the done thing to rock up to church twice every Sunday, not just once, but morning and evening, and that would be the done thing and the steady thing to do. In fact, in years gone by, even people that weren't Christians would rock up to church regularly because it was just the set in concrete, done thing to do. But these days, things have changed a lot, and for many Christians, church has actually become something that you attend maybe once or twice a month. Something that you don't really think twice about canning if a better offer were to come up. Now, I think there's all kinds of reasons for this shift in thinking. I mean, you could look at the nature of work commitments, for example. I mean, they've changed dramatically over the last 20 to 30 years. There are lots of workplaces now that just demand that employees be available on Sundays. You could look at our increase in wealth and mobility. Again, that's something that's just been steadily rising, and that just means that people have more opportunities, more choices, and the mobility to take advantage of them on a Sunday. You could look at the rise in kids' extracurricular activities, and those often demand weekend participation, and now increasingly lots of them demand Sunday participation. And you could go on and on and on. There's all kinds of sort of sociological reasons for why our church attendance is on the wane. But really, I don't think any of those are the big problem. I think most of those are just symptoms of something else. And I think that actually the biggest problem that really overrides all of those things that I just spoke about is that these days a shockingly high percentage of Christians just don't believe that attending church is really all that important. It just doesn't matter if I'm there regularly. If I'm not around a lot, it's not a problem. And sadly, I think this has come out of a wrong application of some good theology. You see, in the past, people have had this misconception that simply being part of a church, of attending a church, that makes you right with God. Yeah? I might not trust in Jesus, I might not live with Jesus as Lord, in fact, I might not live a Christian life at all, but provided that I rock up to church every Sunday, well, that's okay, I'm all right with God, and that gets me to heaven. Yeah? Now, obviously, that's wrong thinking. And praise God that that kind of thinking is increasingly being stamped out. People have understood that church attendance doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't get you right with God. That's absolutely true. But the problem is that people have taken that good theology and they've applied it incorrectly. They've taken the good theology and they've applied it incorrectly to say that therefore it doesn't matter. Church isn't important. If church doesn't save me, therefore, it doesn't matter. Now, it's this thinking that I really want to address in this series, because I actually don't think that Summerlees is immune from this. Now, please don't panic. I don't sort of keep a little personalised record of who's here, you know, like a teacher every Sunday or anything like that. I don't know. But this is just looking broadly at our sort of attendance stats over the last few years, just looking at the total number of how many people are here. It's pretty up and down. It's pretty up and down. It's very rare, in fact, very, very rare that you would have everyone here on a Sunday. And most weeks, there is a significant number of people away. And that's not just a Summerlees problem. This is a problem right across our church planting network here in Kingborough, and it's a problem in Vision 100 in general. Now, of course, there are good reasons not to come to church sometimes. Okay, please don't hear me saying that you can't ever not come. Of course there are good reasons not to come sometimes. We certainly don't want to go back to the days of people coming because they have to be here. We don't want people trusting in church attendance for salvation. We don't want that kind of role-checking culture where we're all legalistic with each other and they weren't there on Sunday and they haven't been there 3 weeks in a row and I've noticed. Yeah, we don't want that sort of stuff. But what I do want to address through this series is this faulty, defective, unchristian idea that church attendance doesn't matter. I want to show you over the next few weeks that it is absolutely key for our growth as a church. Yeah, us being here is key for this church growing. It's key for our 2020 vision and the mission of this church. But it's also key for our discipleship of one another. Yeah, if we're to help each other grow, then it's vital that we're here. In fact, it's also key just for you personally as an individual to be here. I'll show you that as well. But the first and most important reason why we need to value church attendance has actually got nothing to do with other people at all. No, the first reason why you should be absolutely desperate to be at church regularly as much as you can is God's glory. Yeah. And that's really the big thing that I want us to look at this morning. It's up there on the board. We should show up because God is in the business of gathering a people for his glory. Yeah, that is the biggest, most important foundational reason for why you should be gagging to be here every Sunday. Because God is in the business of gathering a people for his glory. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and unpack that statement a bit, pull it apart. And the first key thing that we need to understand is that church is a gathering. Yeah? The gathering nature of church is just this foundational to what church is. Now, you might not know this, but the Greek word that we translate as church, it simply means gathering. Yeah, you look in the ancient Greek documents of the New Testament, the documents that we translate to get our English Bibles, and the word, the Greek word that we translate to get the word church, is this word that means gathering. Now, the English word church, it sounds very spiritual and religious, doesn't it? Yeah, it's a religious, spiritual kind of word. In fact, rarely do you hear it in other contexts. I found out this week that actually Malcolm Turnbull's been speaking about the broad church of the Liberal Party. So there are places where people use it outside of that. But on the whole, it's a religious word. It's a spiritual word, a word that we use to describe religious kind of gatherings. But this Greek word that we translate as church, it's not religious or spiritual at all. There's nothing religious or spiritual about it. Really, it's just a word that means gathering. And you can see this in your Bibles. If you were to read Acts 19, for example, you read about this mob that's assembled in Ephesus, and they're shouting and they're yelling and they're threatening to have this great big riot because they hate what Paul's preaching. Well, that mob is described by the same word that we translate as church. Yeah, it's a gathering. It's a group of people. It's a mob. It's a bunch of people assembled together. And the Greek word that's used is this word that we translate as church. So it's not particularly a spiritual religious word. It's just a secular everyday word to describe a gathering. So that makes us ask then, what makes the Christian gathering different from any other type of gathering? If it's just a secular kind of word that you could use of a righteous mob, for example, what makes the Christian gathering different from that? Well, the thing that makes God's gathering special is that it's the gathering of the people God has saved through Jesus. That's what makes our gathering unique. Okay? It is the gathering of the people God has saved through Jesus. And you can see this from that passage that Claire read out from us. Look at it again. We're in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. We'll just read those again together. Hebrews 12, starting at verse 22. But you have come, and now just skip down to verse 23. You have come to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Yeah, that the book of Hebrews, it's written to these Christian people, and the writer says, you have come to the church of the firstborn. Yeah. When you come to this church, you're coming to the church, to the gathering of righteous men and women made perfect, verse 23. That's what makes it special. And in verse 24, you see how they're made perfect. How are they gathered? Well, it's through Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant by his sprinkled blood. You see, here's the thing. When you trust in Jesus' death for you, when you trust in his blood shed on the cross to pay for your sin, you are made righteous in God's sight. You become one of these righteous men and women. You become one of his saved people. You become one of these people made perfect. You are washed of your sin by the cross of Christ and made righteous in God's sight. And that is what the new covenant is. You see how it talks about there, Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant? Well, this new covenant in Hebrews 12 is God's great plan and promise to save people and make them right in his sight through Jesus' death on the cross. And when that happens, when you put your faith in Christ and become a beneficiary of that covenant, when you're sprinkled by that blood, when you're made righteous, you become one of his saved people. You are gathered along with everyone else who has trusted in Christ to God. And that's what that joyful assembly is there in Hebrews 12. If you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, you're a part of this church. You're part of this joyful assembly gathered around God. Now, you might be thinking, well, hang on a sec. What do you mean I'm part of this gathering? How do I get gathered with everyone else who trusts in Jesus all over the world and through time? I mean, it doesn't feel like we're gathered there, does it, in that sort of thing? Well, the way you get gathered is in Jesus. You get gathered in Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us that when you come to trust in Jesus, you're actually united to him. And you'll notice this when you read through your New Testament. It's always using words like in Christ and with Christ. You know, you're always talked about as being in Christ. People are in Christ. For example, you could look at 1 Corinthians 12. This is the passage that Carly was referencing before. I think I've got it there. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. It talks about us being baptized by one Spirit into one body. Yeah, when you trust in Jesus, you are baptized into one Spirit, into one body. And that gets explained a bit more in Ephesians 4:15, where it talks about us growing up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When you trust in Jesus, you become part of his body. You are united to him along with everyone else who does. You are drawn into his body. You become under his head. You are in Christ. You are part of his great church. Might not feel like it, but you are. Spiritually, you are united to Christ and gathered along with all other Christians in Jesus. Now, this is what we talk about as the universal church. If you read sort of big theological books or get into those conversations, sometimes you might hear of people talking about the universal church because it's made up of all of God's people from all over the world through all time. Okay. Now, surely we might be separated geographically and historically, but we are all gathered in Jesus. And one day when he comes back, you will experience that gathering in its fullness. When you get to Revelation, you read about the great tribe, all the tribes and languages all united together, the new heavens and the new earth. That is where you'll see this universal church in all of its fullness. You're only there spiritually now, but you will feel it and experience in its fullness when Jesus returns. But it does raise the question, well, what about the here and now? Because, you know, as nice as this concept is, there is just something about physically being gathered with people, isn't there? Now, we've got some close friends that are living in Tassie, and they're actually from the UK, and all their family pretty much is still over there. And last year, one of their family members got married. Now, obviously, the UK is a long way away, very expensive. They couldn't get back there. But what they did do was that the people on the other end, the family in the UK, actually set up a computer in the church and basically Skyped them into the wedding. And it was amazing, apparently. They could actually see everything happen. They were there in their lounge room in the middle of the night in their Jimmy Jams watching this wedding happen live on the other side of the world. And it was great. And they even got people to come up, you know, from the congregation on the other side of the world. They'd come up to the computer and go, "Hi, isn't it great to be at the wedding together? Isn't it wonderful? Wasn't she beautiful?" And it was almost like a virtual reality kind of wedding experience. And it was lovely and it was wonderful. And when we were overseas, I wish we had stuff like that because, gee, that would help. But you know what? It still just wasn't the same as being there. You know? You can see it. It's all happening live. You hear it. You can see the people there talking to you over the internet. But it's not the same as actually gathering with them. It's not the same as actually being there. And I think it can be a bit like that with the universal church, can't it? What a lovely idea. I am united in Jesus with all these believers all over the world through all time, all of us gathered together in Christ. Sounds wonderful. But you know what? It's not the same as having something physical. And sometimes it doesn't feel very real. But this is where the good news comes in. You see, the universal church is expressed and experienced in the here and now through the local church. Oh, there it is. Through the local church. And that's what Summer Lees is. Right now, you are sitting in the local church, and this local church is a real, tangible, physical expression of that universal church. You can physically gather with it, and it reflects that spiritual, universal gathering to the world around it. In the here and now, people can see, feel, experience the church of God through us, through this little gathering. Right now. Now, hopefully you're starting to see why being here is important. Because if we are, as Summer Lees, to reflect that spiritual gathering to the world, we've got to actually gather, don't we? You can't express and represent and foreshadow something that's a gathering unless you gather. Yeah. So us gathering together now is what reflects that heavenly universal gathering. It's how Christians experience, but it's also how the world gets to see it. And as we'll see in a minute, it's how the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms get to see it as well. But we cannot reflect a gathering unless we gather ourselves. Just as a very helpful, I think it's a helpful side note. This idea of gathering, I think, is really useful when you're trying to work out exactly what is and isn't a church. For example, it's the reason why denominations aren't actually churches. Because if you think about it, a denomination never gathers, does it? To talk about the Anglican Church or the Catholic Church or the Presbyterian Church when you're referring to a denomination, it doesn't technically make sense because the whole thing never gathers. Did you see what I mean? I actually think our own denomination's got it right because we're the Christian Reformed Churches of Australia. Not the Christian Reformed Church, but the Christian Reformed Churches. It's an important distinction, and I think it's bang on because that's what we are. We're a bunch of churches. Yeah, we partner together in a denomination to help each other out with various things, but we're not one church. We're lots of churches that partner together, lots of gatherings that help each other out. Just a side point, but I think it's helpful when you're trying to think through what is and isn't church. Now, of course, there's more to being a church than just gathering. There is. Church is also a community. It's also talked about as a body. It's talked about as a family. It's talked about as a household. There is more to it, but it is at least a gathering. It's at least a gathering. God is a God who gathers people. Essential and foundational to us being a church is us gathering together. Okay. We'll keep moving. We'll be a bit quicker for these next points. The church is a gathering, but the church also brings glory to God. Now, I don't know how you feel about these gatherings on Sunday mornings. In many ways, there's nothing very impressive about them, is there? I mean, we meet in this funny little scout hall. So often we have hiccups. We had one of them this morning with the PowerPoint and various things kind of went wrong and stuff doesn't work sometimes. Sometimes the mic's up too loud. Sometimes it's too soft. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes things go pear-shaped. Maybe I preach a real boring dud of a sermon. Maybe I'm doing that right now. I don't know. Maybe we accidentally cram too much in the service and we're kind of looking at it and it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Can we go home, please? Never that bad. But you know what I mean? Sometimes things are all over the place. Often there's kids screaming. There's mess. There's chaos. It can be so far from an impressive, slick performance. I actually remember once when I was living in Sydney going to a massive mega church over there, and that was impressive. That was super impressive. The building, the sound system, the massive crowds. They didn't have little coffee urns and percolators around. They had an actual Gloria Jeans in their building. Yeah, they didn't have a sort of little bookstall trestle table. They had a kurongi type thing in their building. Everyone on stage looked really hip and super cool. You know, we're so far from that, aren't we? Well, perhaps those of us that are on stage today might be super hip and cool. But yeah, you can look around, it just doesn't seem that great. And you know what? Just us being here, just us gathering like this brings great glory to God. Regardless of how it might look to you, just us being here, sitting here right now, is bringing great glory to God. And I want you to look at Ephesians 3:8-11 with me, and you'll see why this is. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Here it comes. His intent, God's intent through the gospel was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. What that's saying is that the church, God's gathered people together, demonstrate God's wisdom and glory to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Now, who exactly are these rulers and authorities? We don't know exactly that. The Bible never gives us heaps of detail about them. But what it does make clear is that God has made this whole spiritual realm. And this spiritual realm has got thousands and thousands of spiritual angelic type beings in it. And there are some that seem to rule over others. And they're all looking down on us right now. And when they see us gathered like this, they go, wow. They go, God is amazing. God is great. God is wise and awesome and powerful and worthy of all glory and honor and praise. That's what they say when they see this. When they just see us sitting here in this scout hall, that's what's going on out there in the whatever it is, the cosmos. Just us sitting here together, gathered, brings glory to God. Now, you might be going, why? What's so special about us just being gathered together? I mean, we just noted, didn't we, that on the surface it doesn't look all that impressive. But when you look below the surface, which is what they're doing, it's amazing. You see, this passage in Ephesians, it comes in the context of this great big discussion of how people are dead in sin, by nature opposed to God, hostile to one another. In fact, just in the chapter before, it takes the examples of Jews and Gentiles, and it talks about how there's this dividing wall of hostility between them, and how people, because of their sin, can't get along and don't like each other and are divided and reject one another. And yet the great mystery that Paul writes about, the great mystery that's been made known, is that through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through the gospel, we are made right with God. We're saved from our sin by grace, and that dividing wall of hostility that used to separate us from one another has been smashed down. Now, God is so great and so amazing that he can accomplish that and take a people that are hostile to one another and don't care about each other and normally wouldn't have anything to do with one another, he can take them and make them family. And all of that is proved and made visible and evident by God's diverse people gathered together. Yeah, this gathering, just you being here, is living, concrete evidence of the miraculous work God has done through the gospel. You wouldn't be here without it, would you? Yeah. The effects of you prioritizing this gathering, of locking this into your schedule every week, of saying no to a sleep-in on a Sunday morning, yeah? Of saying no to a mega late night on Saturday that means you're going to sleep in on Sunday morning, to saying no to any number of other social options or occasions or work opportunities that might pop up. The effects of you choosing to spend the morning with people who are so different to you in taste and age and personality, the effects of you reorganising work schedule or working hard to get little kids out the door on Sunday morning, the effects of you just showing up reverberate through the universe. And I really want to encourage you with this. I mean, and I know for some people here, being here is really tough to do. I know that some people have got family issues or just sort of chronic sickness issues or all kinds of things that make it really difficult to get out the door and be here on a Sunday morning. Please, if that's you, be encouraged, because the effects of you doing that, the result of you making the effort, and even though it's tough getting yourself here, is bringing glory to God in the heavenly realms. You've got to know that. You might not think it's a big deal, but you are, as we speak, knocking the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms off their rockers because you're evidence of God's glory and wisdom in the gospel. We're nearly there. But before we finish each of these talks each week, I just want us to spend just a little extra time just a sort of rubbing home some of the implications of these church, these talks about being regular at church. And so we've looked at church as a gathering. We've looked at church and God's glory, and we've seen that actually just us gathering here brings great glory to God in the heavenly realms. The last thing I want us to do is just think about church and you. Church and you. I think one of the reasons that we are often so irregular with church is that for many people, the choice of whether to go to church or not feels like a very personal, individualistic kind of a choice. Yeah? The effects of me being there or not really just comes down to me. That's not going to affect anything else. Yeah, it's just an individualistic, personal decision. It's a bit like me choosing to go to the beach today or not. Yeah. Or to go to the cinema later, or not. Or to engage in some hobby, you know, that I quite enjoy, but actually whether I go or not, it's not really going to affect anything else all too much. If it all works out, I might go to the beach, I might go to the cinema, I might engage in my hobby. But if it doesn't, I won't. And if I decide not to, then really the only person that that's going to impact is me. You know that kind of thinking? And I think it's so easy to put church in that basket. It's just one activity among many others that I might choose to do or might not choose to do. And if I choose not to do it, well, it's not going to really impact anything else terribly much. Now, when you think about church this way, it's very easy not to go. Very easy not to go. Because if your kids or your parents or your friends or your family members or your boss want you to do something, all of a sudden what you have is a choice between doing something that's not going to affect anything terribly much or doing something that's going to let down a whole bunch of people. Can you see how that works? If I say no to my kids or my partner or my friends or my family or my boss, well, that's going to let them down. If I say no to church, well, all that happens is I just don't go to church and that's it, doesn't matter. I mean, that's a no-brainer of a decision, isn't it? A no-brainer. Of course you'll choose work, family, friends, whatever. Or, if you see church as something that doesn't impact anything else terribly much, when the more fun thing comes up, you will also choose to ditch church. After all, if it's just about you and your choice, and you're the only person that the decision's going to impact, well, take the better offer. Duh. Yeah. If I was planning on going to the beach, but then I get invited out to lunch at a really nice, expensive restaurant, and my friend says they'll shout, what am I going to do? Well, I'll take the restaurant, thanks very much. I'll go to the beach some other time, and it doesn't matter if I do, because really it only just affects me in the end. When being at church is just about you, you can take it or you can leave it. But what I'm hoping you're starting to see is that the decision to show up is not just about you. It's actually about God's glory. That's what you're making a decision about. It's not a decision that's just about you and nothing else. You're making a call about the glory of God. When you're making the decision about whether to be at church or not, it's a decision about glorifying God. It's not just a flippant calendar decision. It's not just a last-minute call that you make Sunday morning depending on all the weather or how tired you are or what state the kids are in. It's God's glory we're talking about here. You're making a decision about glorifying God or not. Now again, I want you to hear me. Don't get me wrong. There are sometimes good reasons for not going. Of course there are. And as I said at the beginning, the last thing I want at some of these is a legalistic culture where we tut each other and get all judgmental about showing up. That would be horrible. We don't want that. But I think we're pretty good at the disclaimers and working out when not to go in our culture, so I don't want to labour that now. Instead, I want to challenge you to make glorifying God through showing up a rock solid priority in your life. I want this to be your big thing for 2016. We all say no to friends and family and work and all kinds of things for the stuff that really matters to us. We're good at that. If there's something happening that we really want to be at, that's really important to us, we'll go crazy. We'll reorganise work shifts, we'll reschedule stuff with family or change times with friends or just plain knock back invitations to do other things. Yeah, we're good at that. We know how to do that. Now let me ask you, will you do that for the glory of God? Will you do that for the sake of God's glory? Will you go to that effort so that you can glorify God through you showing up? And the other thing I'd like to challenge you to do is just to start thinking about how you're going at this. How was 2015? What was your attendance pattern like? Are you really just a once a monther? Or maybe a couple of times a month? It's really worth thinking that through. Just be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell me or anyone else. It's just between you and God. But just think that through, because you might actually be surprised if you did, when you actually work out how often you are here. Because if you're away more often than not, chances are there's a problem with the way that you think about church. If you being here isn't the main default position, chances are there's a problem. Now again, I don't want you to get defensive. It really is just between you and God. It's His glory we're talking about, remember. It's not mine or anyone else's. But if you're away most of the time and being here is just the occasional thing, then it would be seriously worth you coming before God, knowing that you being here brings Him great glory, and making that decision, thinking through whether 2016 needs to be a year where you really change that area of your life. Please, for the sake of God's glory, for God's sake, let's make sure we show up. Let's pray. Father, when we think through the wonder of the gospel, we can see why church is so important. It is just so easy for us to think of it just as a take-it-or-leave-it event. It's so easy for us to be underwhelmed by church so often and just to miss the miracle that it is. And yet in your word we have just seen that just us gathering blows away the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm and makes them fall face down before you and give you great glory. That we can be a part of that just by showing up is unbelievable. And so we just praise you now, as they do, for your great wisdom and your might and your glory and your mercy and your graciousness to take sinful people like us, redeem us by grace, and gather us as your people. And Father, we pray that as we begin this year, you would help us just to really have that perspective right at the forefront of our minds when it comes to church and showing up. Help us to remember the effects of us being here. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be working in us. I mean, some of us are maybe starting to really feel him doing that right now. Help us to be receptive to him and open to him and to respond to the way he's pricking our hearts now to really make these gatherings a big commitment. Not because the preacher said I had to, and not because we're trying to earn our way into your good books, or not because we want to impress anyone, but just because you are a great God who deserves glory, honour and praise. And we can be a part of you receiving that. In Jesus' name, amen.